Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 24 minutes and 45 seconds to go on the show today. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. And we wish unto the listeners a warm day. I know it's going to be 65 degrees and sunshine where we are in Tupelo, Mississippi. Now we go to our weatherman in Kansas City, Ray Pritchard, who will tell us what it's like there.
Hey, the sun is shining.
55 maybe?
Not yet, but we're
going to get there?
53. Yesterday, unbelievably, Tim, it got to 60 degrees. That's crazy. Crazy for Kansas City in January, 53 today, but the sun is shining. We just had cloud cover for days and days and days, and I was climbing the walls myself. So it's nice to see the sun again. So, we're happy here.
Going to be 65 today in Tupelo. And so I told a couple of my grandsons, hey, let's go out and throw the baseball around this afternoon.
Take advantage of the pretty sun.
Get a little taste of spring. Spring will be here before you know it. Maybe when is a groundhog in Pennsylvania? Punxsutawney Phil, when does he show up for his verdict? Right? You know when that is, February?
I don't know. I'm looking. Steve, you know that.
You keep up with Punxsutawney
Phil. I'll look
Phil,
it up. Yeah, I do. I was just thinking that we have to ask Chevy Chase.
Bill Murray.
That's right. That's right. Groundhog.
February the 2nd.
Britt Creeley comes forward and says,
boom.
February the 2nd. That's Punxsutawney Phil will come out and say whether we have six. What is it? What is it he determines with his shadow?
2 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Six more weeks of winter, or spring comes quickly.
We don't believe in superstition here, though.
But science.
But groundhogs.
Sure, groundhogs are groundhogs. Science. Know what you're saying, Weston?
February the 2nd is Friday.
Okay. What about this? What about this farmer's almanac thing here that's going? I keep hearing about the Farmer's Almanac, this Farmer's Almanac.
They've been around forever. I mean, for a couple hundred years, Tim.
How do they predict?
They do that long-range forecast, right?
Well,
what are they basing it on, though? I mean,
no different than the weatherman.
Well, the weathermen have meteorologists and stuff. Do you mean
that? Well, I mean that they're wrong a lot.
Farmer's Almanac.
But they have some, you know.
Some people swear by it.
Yeah.
I downloaded it or bought it a year ago, and they have, you know, for these states, 9 months in advance they have it, and they say it is a secret proprietary formula. So
it's kind of like KFC?
Very much. 11 herbs and spices.
Okay. The secret, family secret there, huh? All right, well, we'll see. What are you looking at, Steve? You looking at Farmer's Almanac?
I'm looking at science. I'm going to give this to you.
Okay.
What
do we got? Steve's scrolling on his cell phone, showing it to me.
Used to find water.
Devices used to find water, and Steve has a golf club and a golf ball.
That's it.
There you go.
That's how you find water.
That's right.
Well,
for some people, it'll take them a couple minutes there.
Listen, all golfers immediately understand.
That's right.
Right. Do we ever? I just detest cold weather.
I thought you were about to say you detest finding water with a golf ball.
Well,
that too, though, right?
If it's warm, I can take a couple lost balls. anyway, we hope spring is on the way, right? And it'll be here in
spring training is just around the corner.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Spring training, baseball.
Yeah. And since you asked, Dad, turkey season is around the corner, too.
Turkey, when is that?
It's March 15th in Mississippi.
Okay, so you're a big turkey.
A big turkey. I'm a big hunter in general.
Yes, you are.
I keep up with all the seasons. And as my wife will remind me when I tell, hey, just three more days left of deer season. Well, what season's next?
That's right.
Used to, that worked. I could say, well, we're just a few more days left of the season. You know, I'm going to get out here and show up. Now she's like, well, what's next?
Turkey hunting's from when to when?
March 15th to May 1st.
Okay.
March
15th. About 6 weeks of turkey hunting.
There you go. That's what I use. It's just 6 weeks.
Just 6 weeks, right. And then the next hunting season.
That's right.
Whatever the next animal is. Do you feel good about killing, Wesley? That's how that is.
They put food on the table.
Some people might say, well, since Wesley is my oldest son, Walker's my youngest son. I have a daughter who's older than Wesley, but I didn't teach you to hunt. Your late grandfather taught you to hunt.
That's right. Right. Mom, your wife, right. Allison's dad
taught you to hunt.
Taught me a lot.
Deer hunt.
Taught me how to deer hunt.
Now, who taught you how to turkey hunt?
My father-in-law.
Right.
Chelsea's dad. My wife. Right. My wife's dad taught me a lot about turkey hunting. And along with all hunting, you have someone to teach, and eventually you get out there and learn the rest of it.
I just have to ask a question then, Wesley. Showing my ignorance here. I understand deer hunting.
We're gonna get to
how
you
do you hunt a turkey? I'm asking seriously.
What's your question, Ray?
How do you hunt a turkey? I mean, is it bow and arrow? Gun?
You can use a bow. Some people do, but the majority, I would probably say 85 or 90% of people use a shotgun. But you can only use two weapons. You can only use a bow or a shotgun. The shotgun, you have, you know, you have 20
what
gauge,
else would
gauge.
You use? A cannon?
Hand grenade?
I mean, like, if you I'm just being completely fair to our audience. I have no idea where people fall or people's knowledge of this. But in deer hunting, you would use, there's a variety of different types of rifles and primitive weapons you can use. So with turkey, it's a shotgun.
A shotgun, because you don't want to blow the whole animal up where you don't have anything left.
That's right. And there's a sport in it in which getting them in shotgun range is what the states and really the whole country allows you to do. A rifle, you can shoot up to 300-500 yards, and you lose a sport in it for a turkey.
You know, if deer hunting, if you wanted to give a deer, I mean, if you wanted to make it even, I think hand-to-hand combat.
Hand-to-hand, that's it.
With a deer?
Give the deer a chance, yeah.
With a buck?
With the turkey.
If you swing all the way over to as primitive as you can get, there are people that hunt deer with a spear.
Wow.
Hunt deer with a spear.
And the reason would be?
It was
challenge.
Yeah, but it was really no fun for me. It got discouraging, you know.
It did.
I chucked that spear, miss. Chucked that spear, miss.
A lot of missing for your first
one. Anyway, so.
March 15th, I'll give you a turkey report. We'll move on.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I'll go with you.
Okay.
I'll go watch you. I tell you what was fun, Ray and Steve, and I know this has nothing to do with the end of the world stories that we're about to bring to you, ladies and gentlemen. But
we got good news first.
We do have good news first, but I tell you, you Wesley and Walker, my sons, you guys used to duck hunt a lot.
That's right.
So I would go with them. Every once in a while, I'd go with them. I don't hunt, per se. I tell people, they say, well, do you hunt? And I say, no, I hunt. They
biscuits
hunt
and they, gravy.
You guys hunt the ducks and deer, and I hunt birdies. Okay. So
on the golf course.
A different kind of hunting.
Yeah.
But
you did go when we had good breakfast every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Free good hot breakfast, and I could go back to the truck and warm up. That's basically, it's called weenie hunting. And that's where I fall into that. But I wanted to say, if you've never been hunting, if you've ever been duck hunting and watched a Labrador retriever
work
go into the water and bring back the ducks, it's fascinating.
It is.
Huh? To watch. And we had a lab.
Yeah, we had a silver lab, Russ, for over 10 years. Well, that was Walker's
dog. But y'all
dog.
Would take him hunting. It wouldn't matter how cold it was. He would jump in that water. He'd go, I don't know,
100 yards
to get a duck and swim all the way back.
And he found great satisfaction in bringing the duck back. And, of course, there would be a reward at the end most of the time. And
those dogs won't tear up the bird in their mouth.
They have a gentle.
It's a soft. You know what? Have you ever seen this, Ray? You ever been out and seen this?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Of course.
It's for duck hunting, basically. Go ahead.
In addition to that, though, we taught him other types of hunting. And so we would take him quail hunting and dove hunting, and they would retrieve.
Labrador. Labradors are made for that. Labrador retrievers. That's why they're called that, right?
Yep, retrievers, yep.
All right. So, listen, we have some good news to report. And joining us is our general manager, Jonathan. How you doing, Brother Jonathan?
Good morning. Doing good.
So tell us, we had a campaign last couple of weeks, haven't we?
Yeah, so last couple of weeks we had our pre-born campaign. This is the campaign that we do every year in January. We had to extend it to an extra week because the original week we were all snowed in here in Mississippi, so we didn't get to promote it as much as we'd like to. So anyway, over the last 2 weeks, we did a our campaign for them. And preborn is basically they help with pregnancy clinics to help fund ultrasounds for expected mothers who are considering abortion. And so what we've done is we asked our listeners to help donate to sponsor an ultrasound for expected mothers. And our goal for those 2 weeks was 4,500 sponsored ultrasounds. And I'm happy to report that we sponsored 4,468 ultrasounds over the 2 weeks.
Amen. All right. Hand clap for all our listeners. Again, what was the number of sponsored ultrasounds by our listeners?
4,468.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So, because it was $18, well, no,
$28.
$28 to buy one ultrasound.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the great thing about this with preborn and Dan Steiner, who's been on with us many times, is there's no overhead to
That's
this
right.
ministry,
That's right.
Preborn. So every dollar that people gave toward these 4,000 plus ultrasounds that our listeners sponsored goes to support the ultrasound.
That's exactly right. That's
so,
exactly right.
Because, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because he has a separate way that he raises money for his costs. That way that when we do these fundraisers like this, every dollar goes toward toward the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Well, awesome, man. We just want to applaud our listeners, thank
Absolutely.
Our listeners, because
yes.
they're the ones who called in
That's
and made
exactly
the difference.
Right. That's exactly right.
And you know, we also, too, something to consider is that this should be a good this is a testament of our listener support and our listenership, that while we have these major issues that we are asking you to be a part of, and there's a lot of difficult things that we cover on the radio, this is the heart of who we are at AFA and AFR, and the heart of our listenership, the compassion and the desire to help when there's a opportunity. And thankful for Dan Stein and his vision and his idea behind this, because who would have thunk when he began this ministry that we would have the overturning of Roe versus Wade during our lifetime? I mean, that's been a complete shock. And so having a ministry like Preborn post Roe versus Wade being overturned could not be a better fit.
Yeah, listen, you don't have to have laws passed. You don't have to have a Supreme Court decision. Anything like this to do this. Mm-hmm. This directly saves babies' lives, and there's nothing that the pro-abortion groups can do about it.
That's right.
Amen. So
right.
there you go.
Yeah, and they also, Preborn also...
it's a Christian ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
they share the gospel
say.
Of Christ.
They share the gospel, yes. And one of the things that I read is they have had more than 80,000 women surrender their life to Christ just because of the witnessing that they do on top of
Amen.
The ultrasounds that they
Amen.
Do. So they're really impactful.
So we just came on here to say we met our goal, mm-hmm. and our listeners helped provide, again, how many ultrasounds?
4,468.
Amen. That's just amazing.
It is amazing.
We have great, great listeners to American Family Radio. And yeah, that isn't, you know, that's American Family Radio supporting an outside ministry.
That's right.
And we do that oftentimes here, you know, because we're about the cause and the mission. And sometimes that, you know, we'll have our own sheriff on, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people know that we need money to exist and to keep going too, but we want to help the kingdom, and we help the king, and we want to help save unborn babies' lives
and
be a testimony to these young ladies who are pregnant and thinking about an abortion. So mm-hmm. praise the Lord. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Jonathan, joining us here, and Wesley and Steve and Ray. All right, Steve, what do you got for us?
Well, we got some tech stuff that's going on that's pretty awesomely fantastic, but doesn't come without its share of warning.
Awesomely fantastic.
Awesomely fantastic.
That's a new one.
That's my editorial judgment on it, yes.
I describe warm banana pudding right
yeah,
there.
There you go. Anyway. That works. Elon Musk has many companies, SpaceX and, of course, Tesla. But he also has a company called Neuralink. And Neuralink has been given permission to install the first brain implant. It's about the size of a stack of 5 coins. They put it inside your head, inside your brain, and it allows you, if it works correctly, to control devices with your thoughts.
I got a Scooby-Doo right there.
Right?
Huh?
Oh.
All right. Before people... when I first read this last night, I thought, this is the mark of the beast. This sounds like the mark of the beast, okay? It sounds like something that was described in the Bible. But then I stepped back. I said, number one, this is not, this may be technologically close to what the Bible describes, but this is the intent of this particular device, which is a, I would describe it as a pacemaker for the brain.
That's a good, right? Good way to put it. I hadn't heard that, but yeah.
Elon Musk, I don't think Elon Musk is a believer, but he's not a bad guy. He's, he has, he believes in America and freedom
and brain implants.
But so he's, and he's obviously very, very, very intelligent, and he also doesn't have to make his house note
right
any longer. But so Ray, did you read about this?
I did, and this is a tremendous use of technology to help those, as Steve said, that somehow through some miracle of technology to turn brain waves into the ability to actually function outside the human body. For those who are suffering from any number of disorders, this is going to be a, this opens the door to cures that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we never thought possible. Could this technology be used someday in a malevolent way? Yes, it could. But at least for the usage that they're describing here, good. It's going to help a lot of people that we thought were unreachable or unhelpable.
Now, this is at its earliest stages, right, of implementation. In other words,
it's the first. They're one patient. They're trying. I think it's just one single patient. But yeah, it's the first. FDA has given them the ability to try it on a human.
That is amazing.
It defies awesomely fantastic.
Awesomely fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll watch. Ray, what is it? I don't want to, you know, we get, I don't want
to. The mark of the beast, isn't that mandated?
Yeah, I want
to
ask you about that. What's the, what can we look for, Ray, when the time comes on earth when the mark of the beast is being promoted? What is that like?
Well, it's going to be, and anything I say about the actual mark of the beast is speculative, okay?
Okay.
Because technology is moving so fast. But it is going to be some sort of mark or some sort of implanted device or some sort of you fill in the blank that's going to be on the forehead or the hand. And if you don't have it, you cannot buy or sell or engage in e-commerce at all. And it's going to be a requirement in the coming days, the days of the
kind of like the COVID shot.
Very, very similar.
In many ways.
No, emails go to Tim there.
Well, I just remember when the, you know, that everybody says you want to keep your job, you get a COVID shot. You remember that?
Right.
That would make Anthony Fauci.
Be careful, Steve.
Steve.
But
I'm following you.
But you're talking
We've all felt that what happened 3 years ago was a step toward authoritarianism. Right. We all felt that it was a step toward a worldwide economy that someday a malevolent person, a dictator, is going to control. So, yeah, I want everybody to know, we read the Bible, Revelation 13. It's literally true, friends. It is coming. And it will be some sort of technology. This thing, this Neuralink, is, look, I'm glad what they're doing, Steve. I want to say clearly, we're glad they're helping people who were in basically a helpless condition. Yeah. But any technology that can be used for good can also be used for evil.
Yeah.
We've seen that in history.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is you don't shy away from the positives just because it could possibly bring the negatives.
Sure.
Put a fence around it. If you know, write some rules and regulations. Isaac Asimov had his three rules for robots, basically.
Right.
Couldn't harm humans or all that kind of stuff. Fences you put around them, good. You can use them for good, and then
the first thing I look at when it comes to anything like this is it's an option. As long as things are optional, then people can choose.
Not compulsory.
Yeah, right. Then people can choose to use it or not use it when, as it relates to the advancement of technology. When it's anything that becomes mandated, like shots, is where I get
draw the line.
I'll get a little bit more involved in that one.
Right.
For sure, to say the least.
So anyway, that's Elon Musk.
Yep.
What does Elon Musk do in his spare time?
I
just wondered, does he have any hobbies or games?
I think he plays Dungeons & Dragons or something like that, isn't it?
I mean, the guy does SpaceLink, which is...
SpaceX.
Which is rockets.
Uh-huh.
And they have an internet connection up there called SpaceLink, I think, that he owns.
Maybe. He has a tunneling company?
Tesla? What's a tunneling company?
He has a company that literally digs tunnels, like for subways and...
Oh, really?
Yes. It's
just on the side. He's got a tunnel.
Yeah.
Side gig.
My side gig.
That's for Elon Musk.
And then he's got this Neuralink.
What is he? Is he 45? How old is he?
He's not very old. Is he still the richest man in the world? He's one of them, right? He's up there.
Yeah, some of it was devalued because of.
Right.
52, he's 52.
52. It was devalued. I don't know if he's still the richest man in the world right now or not.
He's in the top five.
Yeah. Elon, he may be. He may still be the richest man in the world. Of course, he bought Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of money on that. That's, as far as I know, not making money for him. I think he bought that just to say I'm for free speech.
Yep.
Right?
That was a good move for our movement.
Yeah.
For sure that he bought it.
He's kept his word.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a loser for him if he just wanted to look at it financially. But he said he bought Twitter because he believed in free speech and he saw what Twitter was doing to censor conservatives. Go ahead.
This is a list of the companies of the concerns that Elon Musk owns. SpaceX, which is launching rockets. Twitter. XAI, he's got a new company that does artificial intelligence that he's working on. The Boring Company, which is B-O-R-I-N-G, which is the one that does tunneling. Neuralink, which we just talked about. Zip2, which is no longer a business. The first enterprise he founded, an internet version of the Yellow Pages. OpenAI, he was behind some of that. Tesla. PayPal.
That's how he's. I think
co-founder of PayPal.
I think that's how he made his money initially, PayPal, and then he parlayed that into these other companies.
How'd you like to be his brother, man? You're just like, how do you live up to that?
Well, I know, right? Well, you know, the thing that's impressive about people like Elon Musk is, to me, is like he made millions and millions off PayPal, right?
Sure.
Well, a lot of people would take that money and just retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just enjoy the good life, travel the world, whatever. But he took that money and then reinvested it into other projects that benefit mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and you go, so his motivation for his life is not just getting rich.
Right.
If it was, he could stop right now. Right. But his motivation for living every day, Elon Musk, seems to me, is get up and see what I can do tomorrow.
There's a lot of things about Elon Musk, though, that I like. I'm not an Elon apologist. However, I have seen several interviews on his position on AI, and which shows that he's very aware.
He's warning about the dangers.
Yeah, he's very aware and conscientious of how things can be misused. And so he's trying to obviously make people aware of that.
We got to get that guy saved. Think what he could do for the kingdom.
Oh, I know. Mm. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Wesley, the turkey deer duck hunter. To Steve Paisley Jordahl, who's rocking the Paisley shirt today. Brent Cleary, our producer. Tony Perkins, Frank Turek, Jonathan Coker. We hope that you have a wonderful day, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.